Amen. Thank you so much, Michael. I understand last year on the May long weekend, there was nobody from the leadership team that was here in the service. And so I made a point of making sure that, we'd be here today. We got some important things to share that affect our community and that also affect our prayer focus. So I think this is kind of going to be an envisioning morning. That you can begin to see the part we have to play in terms of the larger picture of our community. If you could get that first slide ready. Some of you are aware of the fact, in fact, last Sunday, Gail was asking me, what does that big sign on the edge of town mean where it says 50 years, 1969 to 2019? And the significance of that sign is that this year, 2019, Niverville will be 50 years old from the time it was incorporated as a village back in 1969. So this is a great opportunity for us, and I put together this PowerPoint that I'm also going to be sharing with the Niverville Ministerial, and I think this is going to get into other churches in town as a means of communicating a corporate vision for our community. But you are here this morning are going to be the first ones to see this. So I'd just like to go through this. There's about just a little over 50 slides here. And then we're going to talk a little bit about those prayer boards in the back that you may have noticed as you came in and what that is all about. I will give you some information on that. So anyway, here's a little bit about understanding Niverville's history. I believe to understand history is important because you've got to know where we came from if you're going to know where we're going, because our history is connected to our destiny. If we believe that life has a purpose and a meaning, God is taking us someplace from where we were to where he wants to take us, to be an ever greater blessing and to be a light in this dark world. So anyway, Niverville, Manitoba was named after an 18th century explorer and fur trader, Joseph Claude Boucher de Niverville. This choice of name was made by the Canadian Pacific Railway in the year 1877, 1 year before the railway came into town, or the railway into town was built. It'd be safe to say that many residents of Niverville today see history in the light of his story, that is, a meta-narrative or an overarching story that provides a structure for one's beliefs that give meaning and purpose to one's life experiences. We each find our story within that larger story that leads us from our past into a future destiny. To understand our history is to understand our destiny to be a blessing to our region, to our nation, and to the nations. Niverville's history, much like the biblical narrative, is closely connected to grain and to agriculture. Every farmer in this region plants his seed in the ground every spring in faith that the seed will multiply after it is planted and that it will reproduce and come to maturity. The destiny of seed time is harvest, so that there will be food to feed not only Niverville, but that we can export grain to feed the hungry in other regions and nations. Niverville, a town with a history and a town with a destiny, a place where people can belong and feel at home. Regardless of whether we believe exactly the same, we still belong in the family, and we are destined to mature. Today, one of Niverville's best-known parks is named after William Hespler, who was hired by the Government of Canada as an immigration agent in the year 1871. The Canadian authorities sent him to Russia in order to persuade persecuted Mennonites to emigrate from Russia to Canada instead of to the United States, as they had previously planned. The large rock boulder in front of the Hespler Park sign says, "This stone stands as a memorial to the thousands of Mennonite settlers who helped pioneer this region during the 1870s. The character, prosperity, and development of the Southeast including the town of Niverville, takes its inspiration from these courageous, hardworking people of faith. In 1879, William Hessler financed and he built a circular wooden grain elevator with a capacity of 25,000 bushels in Niverville, Manitoba. This was the first circular grain elevator built in Western Canada. The construction foreman and head carpenter was John Wittick, who also became the grain buyer for the elevator. From this grain elevator, the first barley was shipped to overseas markets. The image of this original grain elevator is used today in the town crest of Niverville, and it remains a symbol of industry, resourcefulness, and vision for the people of Niverville. Through the work of immigration agents such as William Hessler, arrangements were made for the first installment of Mennonite immigrants to be dropped off at the Mennonite landing on Treaty No. 1 land at the confluence of the Red and Rat Rivers near Niverville. They arrived on August the 1st, 1874. On this date, August 1st, 1874, the International, a steam-powered riverboat, brought 65 families from German-speaking colonies in southern Russia, which is now the Ukraine. Between 1874 and 1876, some 3,500 Mennonites arrived at this very site near modern-day Niverville, and new arrivals established some 54 villages in what was called the Mennonite East Reserve. Essentially, this reserve was a gift from the Canadian government, and it is now called the Rural Municipality of Hanover. Mothers with babe in arms and the most fragile, they rode on Métis Red River carts with the luggage, and the rest trekked over 8 kilometers east to the 4 immigration sheds that were erected for them by Métis builders under the supervision of Jacob Shantz, a Mennonite from Ontario. That place where that staging area, these immigration sheds are only about 2 miles from Niverville. Although the Niverville area was first settled by people of British ancestry with names like Stott, Church, and Wallace, an influx of the first Canadian Mennonite farmers in 1874 soon saw their population eclipse that of the earlier group. Between 1874 and 1880, some 7,000 Mennonites came to Manitoba from South Russia or the Ukraine to begin farming. The majority arrived at this spot, that is, at the Mennonite landing at the confluence of the Red and Rat River. These British and mostly Mennonite men and women were among the first Europeans to establish farm communities in the open prairie. The cairn at the Mennonite landing site, just 3 miles southwest of Niverville, concludes with the words, "We gratefully acknowledge their bequeathal of courage and faith in God." One of the 54 villages in the East Reserve was Gortitz, 1 mile west from present-day Randolph, where the Gortitz Heritage Church was first erected on this site and functional by 1877. 20 years later, that original building was replaced by this one, with Sunday services held in it from 1897 until 2010. And it is still standing today and used for special and historical and memorable occasions. The Niverville Gortitz or Mennonite Church, presently Niverville CMC, was first built in 1936. The second CMC church was built in 1950. An education wing was added in 1971, and the foyer was added in 1977. The Niverville pioneers, both British and Mennonite, inspired many other groups to settle the prairies by demonstrating its enormous agricultural potential. The hardiness and the determination of the early settlers, coming from a harsh environment in Russia, ensured that this unforgiving land would be transformed into a place from which livelihoods could be wrested, albeit at considerable effort and cost. In later years, these generous settlers sent grain in relief to others in suffering from famine in Russia. This is perhaps a part of Nerval's destiny, to be blessed, to be a blessing. They immediately started blessing those that were in famine back in the country that they came from. They did not forget them. They were blessed to be a blessing, so that this community can be like a city set on a hill that brings help to the helpless and hope to the hopeless, in showing compassion to those less fortunate. I think I'd just like to, before I go on, when we had our annual meeting, Ken Isaac was sharing how his father was such a generous giver. And he was always involved in these projects, like the Canadian Food Grains Bank and others, that were understanding we were blessed to be a blessing. This is a great legacy that we as a church and all the Church of Nerval needs to carry forward. In more recent years, this important work of not only growing grain to meet our own needs, but to feed the hungry with the overflow, has been carried on by such ministries as the Nerval Food Grain Bank and the Grow Hope Project, sponsored by local farmers such as Grant Dick. As local farmers, they are a part of the global community of food producers who take on the responsibility to use their lands carefully and to attend to the sharing of the harvest, much like in biblical times. Nerval has today become a culturally diverse and open community. Many of its present inhabitants are from Mennonite or British stock, with a growing number of immigrants from other backgrounds. This is all based on a history that includes contributions from many groups, including the French settlers, the Métis, the Scottish settlers, in addition to the British and the Mennonites. All have some unique and valuable gifts to offer. Prior to 1969, Nerval was unincorporated, and until that year was a part of the rural municipality of Hanover. Here are a few snapshots of its growth over time, beginning with this shot of the community back in 1911. While this picture was taken in 1914, the Nerval Presbyterian Church was built in 1907 and is the oldest building in the community, known as the Little White Church. The Presbyterians, the Methodists, and the Congregationalists became the United Church of Canada in the year of 1925. This was taken in 1922, and the picture can be seen driving into Nerval over the tracks on Main Street from the east side, right in the vicinity where the train station once stood. In 1937, the Nerval Hotel and train station can be seen on this photo. Just a little bit to the left of center, in the top part, you'll see the train station, and right there on Main Street, the hotel. This aerial view of Nerval was taken in the late 1950s, and it gives one some idea of the size that the community was becoming when it was incorporated as a village some 10 years later in 1969. As mentioned, Nerval was originally within the rural municipality of Hanover, but it was incorporated. I had somebody say, well, Nerval's been longer than 50 years, but the 50 years that are being celebrated are the incorporation of Nerval into having its own municipal government. It was incorporated as a village in 69 and later as a town in the year 1993. That means that during the year of 2019, Nerval is celebrating its 50th year of being an incorporated community. This year we have an opportunity to celebrate a year of jubilee, where families are restored, debts are forgiven, and where those imprisoned within old thought patterns based upon past hurts can be set free through forgiveness and the dropping of past offenses. I'd just like to say, by way of a personal note, as I was sharing to some people that were at my son's place on Friday night, who came to celebrate the adoption of one of our granddaughters, Iona, that my wife and I celebrated our 49th wedding anniversary this last week on May the 16th, and we also are coming into our 50th year. But this is a reminder, we need to understand our only hope, really, for our community and for the nation is to have a year of Jubilee that Jesus came to bring. Letting go of past offenses and to seeing families restored, to see relationships restored. That is our prayer. And so we're trusting God to go deeper into our own hearts and letting things, anything from the past that is negative or that has broken relationships, to see that healed so that we can build the type of community that will truly be a praise in the earth. And so, 50 years, this is what this means to me. This is an opportunity to understand, I think, what Jubilee means. Jesus prayed that his followers would be made perfect or brought to maturity in oneness or unity in John 17:23, showing that unity is a key to the maturity of the church. Just as the Father and the Son are different personalities, but are yet unified in heart and purpose, to the end that every human being find a family, a home, where they belong, and where there is provision and protection. It will take the same passion for the church to reveal the Father's heart. Could this speak to Niverville's destiny as a unified community with a common purpose that we exist not just to bless ourselves, but to bless other communities, regions, and nations as well? While every congregation in Niverville is needed and is here for a purpose, yet we still have one common mission to reach out beyond ourselves to those who are less fortunate. Some 30 years ago, when this welcome sign was first erected, it stated that the churches of Niverville welcome you. Even back then, however, there were some who noted that the sign should really have said that the church of Niverville welcomes you. It was recognized back then already that while there are several congregations who meet in different locations, but that there is only one church in Niverville. Today, there is a growing movement of people from different congregations who believe and who recognize that there is only one church in Niverville. And this sign recently displayed by the Word of Life Mission Church expresses the heart of this understanding very well. One church in town, 8 locations. Check one out this season. This present understanding is significant in light of the fact that in the past there have been major church splits that separated congregations and that did not reflect the Father's heart for unity at the heart level. Years ago, there was a split between the Elim congregation and the Mennonite Conference congregation, but in more recent years, they have amalgamated to form the Niverville Community Fellowship. In 1963, there was a split between the Niverville CMC and the Word of Life congregation. And in 1978, there was a split between the Word of Life congregation and Maranatha. Yet today, in 2019, worship teams in good standing with their local church leadership from Word of Life, Niverville CMC, and Maranatha have been leading community worship events, both indoors and outdoors. The Hampton Amphitheater Park, seen on this picture, for example, has been used for public worship festivals, courtesy of the Niverville Recreation Department, for the past 3 years. To date, this is the only kind of public event that this community park has been used for. In September of 2016, it was a one-day public worship event at the Hampton Amphitheater Park, led by Matt Falk. And in September of 2017 and 2018, it became a two-day public worship event led by Brendan Dick and Daniel Fuster, with participation by First Nations Father's Heart Worship Team, Island Breeze Manitoba, One Life Collective, team from the Word of Life Church and the Cornerstone Servants from the Niverville CMC, with rap music led by Bradney Harder from the Niverville CMC Church. In addition to this public expression of unified worship in a park, there have been Niverville community worship events that are being dubbed One Voice, taking place every several months. This is a movement made up of many members, several congregations, but one voice in agreement in expressing our love for God and love for our fellow human beings in Niverville and beyond. Unity is a key to maturity. A community expression of love for God in worship cannot help but express itself in a community expression of love for our fellow human beings, in actions and deeds of kindness and mercy. These two great commandments encompass everything that the Bible is about. Already, Niverville has a history whereby different groups and congregations have cross-pollinated in the mission of collaborative and cooperative social action. In addition to the Canadian Food Grains Bank, there is the Ministry of Helping Hands, which offers a hand up to families in need of help to put food on the table. The Niverville Thrift Store is an initiative run by the Mennonite Central Committee that draws volunteers from a large cross-section of the community. The Niverville Thrift Store is a place where every purchase is a gift to the world. MCC Thrift Stores support the work of the Mennonite Central Committee in a worldwide ministry of sharing God's love and compassion with the most vulnerable and needy. Then there's the Ministry of Niverville Baby Layette Love, which is basically a baby shower in a bag with 50 brand new items to help single mothers, mothers in need, immigrant mothers, mothers who choose to keep their babies to give them a chance at life. Many hundreds of these layettes have been given out freely and without partiality, regardless of the mother's ethnicity, skin color, or religious beliefs. Then there is the Niverville Community Bus Project, which made a community bus possible because of the unity, the cooperation, and the collaboration of people from several different congregations in Niverville. This bus is a charitable project that is making affordable transportation available for community projects such as youth groups, Safe Grad, seniors, local hockey team, Everyone Matters Family Street Party, Imagine, and the MCC Grow Hope Project, or GORP, of the Artel Farms. Between the years 2011 and 2017, some 50 volunteers, mainly from Niverville, sponsored and volunteered at the Everyone Matters Family Street Party, in which some 500 to 600 street people were treated to a barbecue, complete with fun activities for the family, worship music, a short message, an opportunity for prayer. Each year, one could sense that the skepticism of the street people was diminishing as they sensed the genuineness of the love that was expressed from Nivervillians. The Imagine Run has for many years brought the issue of mental depression and suicidal thinking out into the open, where people can not only talk about it without condemnation, but they can build relationships with people of understanding. The opposite of addiction is connection. Our Anabaptist friends from the Crystal Springs Hutterite Colony, just a few miles from Niverville, have been a huge support with this initiative. There are at least three other present-day ministries in Niverville where believers from different congregations participate together in a cooperative and collaborative way. The first of these is the Niverville Personal Care Home, where we at Maranatha, there's several here right now. I see Karen is here, and I know there's others who are at the personal care home, ministering to the residents there. The Niverville, we take a turn every 8 weeks. So that's a cooperative effort with all the churches of Niverville. And some of the churches have helped to finance the hiring of a part-time chaplain, Darlene Duick, to help meet the spiritual needs of the residents. Each of the eight congregations in Niverville take a turn every 8 weeks to take a Sunday morning service at the PCH from 9:30 to 10 a.m. And others from the various congregations visit and minister to the lonely at both the PCH and the Niverville Credit Union Manor. Then there's the Niverville Youth for Christ. It's been a point of light in the community of Niverville for over 30 years, ever since 1998. I don't know how many of you know, but it was John Folk who actually pioneered the beginning of the Niverville Drop-In Center back in the year 1988. And he had a vision back then of all the churches in town working together. He had a lot of opposition, but today that vision is coming to pass after all these years of the churches cooperating together, providing volunteers as well as financial support for this outreach to our youth. And it's, this drop-in center has had a unifying effect on our community, with volunteers coming from different congregations and spheres of influence in the community. The Niverville YFC has faithfully hosted the Niverville ministerial meetings every month for many years now, and has generously served breakfast to these spiritual leaders every month. And then every August, the Church of Niverville unites in putting on a vacation Bible school, VBS, which has connected in a deep way with both parents and children. Man, if you ever get to attend one of these, there is a lot of excitement and enthusiasm, and it just feels so good to reconnect with family. The Church of Niverville, this program has been a strong motivation in giving a sense of community togetherness and common purpose by investing in the next generation. And then in addition to these intercongregational initiatives, there are at least three other opportunities being given to the Church of Niverville, wherein the only way that it can work is if we do mission together and work cooperatively and collaboratively. In September of 2019, there will be a new high school opening in Niverville, and Chris Cormey, the youth pastor from Word of Life Mission Church, has been asked to help with brief religious exercises prior to morning classes. He is well aware that the only way that this can work is by intercongregational participation. Then we have Open Doors Niverville, which is a private sponsorship group made up mainly of people from Niverville Community Fellowship and from Maranatha Niverville that are working with the Mennonite Central Committee Refugee Program. They have been working for 2 years to bring a persecuted family from Pakistan, their names are Moon and Shrish, and their son Elijah, who are presently in Thailand, to Niverville. It now looks like this family could be in Niverville by this summer of 2019. And if you'd like to find out more information about this family, one of the prayer bulletin boards in the back has more information about this refugee project and another one I'm working on in bringing a family that is from Iran that needs also a place of refuge. And so, these are all initiatives that have come out of interchurch cooperation here in Niverville. And then plans are also in the works to see an intercongregational and unified effort of the churches in Niverville to work cooperatively with the Lighthouse Mission in the core area of Winnipeg in sponsoring and volunteering for Friday evening chili nights to feed some 250 street people. The new operations manager of the Lighthouse Mission, Beverly Atche, will be coming to Niverville to share the vision in late May of this month, 2019. And already people from at least three churches have expressed an interest in becoming involved with this outreach. In fact, I'll be hosting a luncheon at Gann's Restaurant on May the 28th, a week from Tuesday. And we can take up to 25 people. But if you'd like to join us, have a free lunch and hear Beverly Atche talk about this vision. I've had people already from Word of Life and other churches saying we want to come and hear about this vision, how we can help and reach out to the street people in Winnipeg. And so in line with this historical connection to grain, there is evidence that as more people in Niverville die to selfishness and plant good seeds with the expectation of a harvest, that Niverville will fulfill its destiny to create a sense of home and belonging both inside and outside its borders in a multiplied way. Our mandate right from the very first chapter of the Bible is to be fruitful and to multiply. and to fill the earth. Because every seed that we plant will multiply after its kind. So what seeds are we going to plant? Are we going to curse the darkness? Are we going to plant good seeds of kindness and mercy and see the Father's glory fill our planet? Everyone can do something. None of us can do everything, but everyone can do something. Together we can make a difference. In this year of 2019, Niverville will be celebrating 50 years since it became an incorporated community, separate from the rural municipality of Hanover. On Sunday, September the 8th, you've heard already the announcement this morning, we're having a joint service on Fair Sunday of June the 9th. But 2 months later, on Sunday, September the 8th, 2019, the congregations of the Church of Niverville will be holding a joint community service in conjunction with the town of Niverville's celebration of its 50th anniversary. The service will be held where? At the Hespler Park, the very park named after William Hespler, who financed and he built the first circular grain elevator in Western Canada in this community 140 years ago in 1879. As the plaque on the stone in front of the sign states, the character, prosperity, and development of the Southeast, including the town of Niverville, takes its inspiration from these courageous, hardworking people of faith. We'll just close with this slide. As Jesus said in John 12:24, that unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. Amen. So that is the PowerPoint that we'll be sharing with the ministerial and others in this community to begin to envision us. Because this change doesn't happen all at once. In fact, the changes that take place are sometimes like when a grain of wheat grows. The changes are so gradual as to be almost imperceptible. And if you keep, because something doesn't happen immediately, say nothing is happening, God is looking for a people of faith who will believe his word, that he has placed his church in the world, not to see if the church can put up with all the devil's doing on the earth and finally get us out of here so we go somewhere else. He's put the church in the world, I believe, to turn the church loose on the devil and to see God's throne in heaven connected to the earth, which is his footstool. And this is the part of the earth where he's placed. That's why we believe in the local church. Every local church has a region that they can make a difference, not just to be like a subculture within the larger culture, but to infiltrate the culture and to be a transformative agent. Good to see you, Matt. I don't know if you saw the whole presentation or not, but you're on there. Good to have you. And Matt, and if you look at these prayer bulletin boards at the back, Matt and Sabrina, in all these bulletins, we've this work was done mainly by Megan May, but she had some help from some others. But she has taken local connections, people that are connected locally here, but to a vision that is impacting people in other nations. Through Madame Suprema, we have the connection to South Africa. Through Bonnie here, we have a connection to Kenya. And you'll see her picture on one of the bulletin boards. There's six different bulletin boards, prayer bulletin boards back there. And each one is described briefly in your bulletin insert today. And if you didn't get a bulletin, please take one. Read this over. And these bulletin boards are designed to be something where, certainly at our Tuesday evening prayer meetings of the Cry, in addition to having vocal prayer, we want to begin to have also contemplative, reflective prayer, where people can go to these bulletin boards and take time to meditate and listen. What is God saying? How are we to pray into the people in this part of the earth? Some of the bulletin boards have to do with the needs for the fatherless and the orphans, and the spirit of adoption. Others have to do with refugees. Others have to do with the slavery issue. Again, our local connection there is Sylvia St. Cyr. And we got people here that have a connection to all these different spheres. And so we want to begin with a vision that begins in our own community, but then can be a blessing to the ends of the earth. And to know that what God has blessed us with, if we want to see the blessing increase, we should never, ever look at giving as something that is a drudgery. It is the key to finding our purpose and meaning in life, to be blessed, to be a blessing. In fact, as the seed of Abraham, what did God tell Abraham when he called him out of Ur, the Chaldees, which was based on a Babylonian system where everyone was living selfishly, and there was sexual exploitation, there was temple prostitution, there was baby sacrifice. Well, we live in a world where there's still baby sacrifice going on. There's still slavery going on. But God has called the church to be a liberating influence that will change the way people think, so that change and transformation will come, not just by imposing rules and regulations, but by bringing about the change of heart that will bring inside-out transformation. And that is what the church's role is, I believe, to be a transformative agent of change. And so I pray that we'll capture that this morning. This Tuesday evening when we have the cry, we're going to take some time to go to these various prayer stations. There's the one station there on the seven mountains of community that deals with the different spheres of influence in community that need prayer. You notice, if you look at that map of Niverville in the back corner there, and all those church locations that are bound together by and intertwined with a cord, it lines up with a vision that God gave Whitney Enns about a greater connectedness between the different churches of Niverville to be able to have an influence. Even our own mayor has this vision that Niverville will be a praise of the earth. It will be a blessing to the region and to other nations. And so, John Folk, I'm glad you're here this morning, because I remember when you said back in 1988 that you had a vision for a drop-in center that would have all the churches of Niverville. At that time, it seemed like, John, that's not going to happen, you couldn't see any evidence of it at the time. But because of the faithfulness of people like that, today we're beginning to see the manifestation. And we can take it for granted. It wasn't always like a snap just to get a youth drop-in center going, So just before we dismiss, as we dismiss this morning, as we go, I'd encourage you, if you've got some time, just take a little time to read this bulletin insert. I'm not going to take the time to read it about it right now, but this will give you a basic outline, and you can take some time to get familiar with all the valuable information on those prayer bulletin boards. And we want to start to pray into this, to see greater manifestation of unity and greater manifestation of the expression of the Father's heart to His family. Because you know what? One understanding many of us didn't have in our upbringing, because we don't all believe the same. We thought we could never relate to people if we don't believe the same. But do you know something I've learned over the years is that belonging comes before believing. The prodigal son belonged in the father's family even before he believed the way he should have been believing. And the father's heart was always to see him as a son. And that's how we need to see those that maybe not be coming to church regularly, whatever. They still belong in the family. They still, they're still the Father's children, but the manifestation of that needs to come as we become a representation of the Father. In the Father's house, as we sing, there's a place for me, there's a place for you, there's a place for each one of us as His children. Did anyone like to add anything before we dismiss this morning? I don't want to put anyone on the spot, but, I'm looking at John and Matt and Ian back there, that whole family, have been very influential, I believe, in carrying this vision. And I'd just like to honor you guys, you know, this morning. And I mean, I mentioned like Ken's father and his legacy. And even what I put in this PowerPoint, I know there's a lot more happening than what I could even put. And I'm sure I've missed things other people are aware of. But this is just beginning to open our eyes to the fact that God's already doing a work, but it needs to increase. Amen. Amen. Would you guys mind coming up and just let's have a prayer together? Maybe just John and Ian and Matt. I'm sure you're not. You've been put on the spot before, but you've always got something worth saying. But thank you, guys. Thank you, John. I honor you.
Thanks, Roger,
for what you meant to our community. You guys have been a blessing, a total blessing. Amen. We love you, Matt. And it's just been an honor to walk this journey together. And anything you'd like to say?
Yeah, I just want to say, I guess, two quick things. First of all is that, like, as a person, I don't take any credit for the starting of the drop-in center because that was definitely God who opened up all the doors. And, yeah, so that's where the honor and praise goes. But I also want to take a moment to thank Roger, because I don't think we honor Roger enough. I've known him for like way back before the drop-in center days. And he is one of those individuals that I have never heard a negative thing come out of him. He is always positive. He is not judgmental. He just loves unconditionally. And I think that is just the heart of Jesus, and I just want to acknowledge you and honor you on that.
Thank you.
Okay. Roger just said something good will come out. Okay. Well, I might as well just—I don't know if anyone—if we've highlighted any of the boards in the back. There's so many wonderful things. I'll quickly just explain what the South Africa board that Sabrina and Megan put together represent. Is that okay? So essentially, right now there's a proposed legislation in South Africa that would render international adoptions, if passed, it would render international adoptions very difficult to impossible. Now, this legislation is being proposed in the best interest of the children. That's what the politicians are saying. But of course, there's a huge chunk of people in South Africa who believe that that wouldn't be the case. That in fact, children would end up languishing in the system, growing out of it, and never being a part of a family, especially in those integral years in their life. So, the prayer that we have is not only, they're debating this now, the elections just happened and they're debating it now, and so our prayer is twofold. Number one, that the children in South Africa would be seen, and that they would be seen on a legislative level, that the laws that are passed would actually benefit them, and it wouldn't be underhanded or culturally manipulated or whatever, I don't know what I'm saying. And secondly, that South Africa as a whole would come together and unite, and the pains of the past that were caused by apartheid and colonization would slowly and gradually begin to heal, and that we would see this unity in the body of Christ and throughout all the members of South Africa starting to come together again. So that's, if you guys want to talk about me, to me more about it, I'd be happy to chat with you more in the back.
And Matt and Sabrina are also part of the Open Doors Niverville group that's bringing this Pakistani family to Niverville. And they've worked on this for 2 years, Ellie, hasn't it? And how recently have you learned that it looks like promising this family will be able to come to Niverville this summer?
Yeah, it was just in the last couple of months that we found that out. Sabrina and I jumped on board about halfway through the whole process. They've been doing this for even years in the past, and everything fell apart. But yeah, they need to go for their medical appointment, and then after their medical is approved, they basically get to book tickets. Right now they're living in a one-room area where, like, the bathroom is down the hall. They cook on a little stove outside. If they're found, they'd be imprisoned or killed. It's just been horrible for years for this wonderful, beautiful family. And, yeah, this summer they could be here safe and sound. So it's just, it's beautiful.
Yeah. See, that all lines up with the mega narrative, the bigger story of our purpose. And anything you want to share, Ian?
I mean, sure. I guess so.
Hi, my name is Ian. No. I guess the theme of his message and this morning is community, and it's coming from Roger, which is really cool. And I guess all that history, you know, it means something coming till today because there's such a beautiful amount of community in this church and in this town, and obviously me and my family went through a bunch of stuff this year, and I don't know what that would have looked like if we didn't have church and we didn't have a community. And so I guess dating back from the beginning, there's this beautiful fruition of all that history into actual meaningful stuff today. And I mean, even we're in the emergency room and Roger comes there to pray for us and is with us on crappy days, right? And a lot of you guys have reached out to us and sent us nice texts or helped us out. And so, yeah, history is one thing, but it being a real tangible thing is pretty cool. So I guess thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Ian. And I just like to close with saying that every one of you has a story. And I wish we had time to hear every story, but it is part of a bigger story. And that's why history is really his story. God is putting the pieces together of a plan that gives your life meaning and significance. The question is, am I doing my part? Because God knows each one of us is limited and we can't be involved in every one of these opportunities. But did we do what God asks us to do? What Ruth is doing in the area of flagging and dance and Denise is huge because it's gradually bringing greater freedom and worship to all the churches of Niverville. And freedom and worship is a key to spiritual connection, which enable these other things and social action to happen and take place. So we just close this in prayer, John, maybe, and I'll ask Michael to come and close us, and he'll tell you about the prayer team that'll be up here.
Father, we just come to you and thank you so much for this opportunity to be exactly where we are right now. We just thank you for this community, the people in this community, the leadership. Father, I just pray that we would just continue to grow in your love for everybody around us. Father, that we would not pass judgment on anybody, but Father, that we would just love and love and love. And we just thank you for the so many blessings. I'm just speaking for myself, sometimes so caught up in myself, but Father, I just pray that we would just have more of your heart as we go forward and just be open to opportunities and just to be still in front of you and to hear you just to be a light out there and to get your perspective on and revelation of what a light really is. And we just ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen.